In other words, the rapture ain't going to wait on us. Amen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I mean, in the twinkling of an eye, God ain't going to say, get everything ready, kids. I mean, it's just going to happen. Amen. Are you ready? I hope everybody here is ready. I hope everybody here is ready. We want you to go to heaven. That's the main reason we're here. Amen. That's the main reason I'm here. I want to know that you're going to heaven. Old people, middle-aged people, young people, amen, that your family's going to heaven. There's nothing more important on this earth than knowing that you're saved and that your family's saved. And whatever we have to do to pray, to believe together. Jesus talked about people coming together, two or three, and believing and getting our people saved. Amen. Getting them in the house of the Lord, but getting them saved. Amen. Getting them on the rock. And I mean, talking to them continuously about how important it is. It's the most important thing they'll ever do. Is get their relationship with Christ fixed, to know that they really have one. Yes, sir. Amen? That you really have one. I mean, I've got a relationship with some people. And you know how I know that? We're with one another every day. And we talk every day. And we do for one another every day.
Yes, sir.
And but there's people I don't have no relationship with. I might even know them, but really don't have much of a relationship with. Do you see where I'm going with this? We need to have a relationship with the Lord. The Lord saved us to have a relationship with us. What relationship is that? Sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters of God. He didn't want us just to be his neighbor. Amen. Say hi every now and then. We are the sons and daughters of God. I don't know why I'm saying all this, except the Lord wants me to. The sons and daughters of God and our families, God have mercy that they would die and go to hell when we could say something to them. And I know sometimes we get to the place, you know, they may get upset. I know Jesus said a prophet's not without honor, saving in his own house, among his own people. Well, sometimes that may be when you need to get somebody else coming to talk with you. People, amen, about it. They get tired of you, bring somebody else and let them talk till they get tired of them. Amen, then bring somebody else. It's what I'm saying is that is the main reason that you and I are here. Is to win people to the Lord. And, I mean, we don't need to just win ours and forget about the world. And I don't think we're doing that here. I thank God for the work, the mission work. 2 Samuel, chapter number 7. 2 Samuel, chapter 7. For sake of reading, I'm just going to go on down to verse number 4. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelled in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore,
So shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And that's as far as I want to read. I want to preach from around here, but I want to get the thought from verse number 8, where the Lord said, Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. I took thee. That's what I want to preach about this morning, is where God said, I took thee. I took thee. When we look in this chapter, and even the chapter before, to start, David has had a great victory over the Philistines, and you know, they had taken the Ark of God away from Israel. And the only reason that they were able to grab the Ark of God and take it back to their land was that they were ignorant of the law of God. And but it was very soon after that God began to judge them for keeping the ark. And, of course, you know the story, how that God had smote them and sent great disease upon them. And they made offerings of gold and wanted to send it back. And so David, here he is, gathered all the chosen men in Israel, 30,000 in chapter number 6. 30,000 chosen men. Now, that there's one thing that I see in just that statement there, is that it is important what kind of a man you are. It is important what kind of a man you are. Or what kind of a woman you are. I want to get that this morning. That these men, they were chosen men of Israel. And so David gathered them to go and to get the ark and to bring the ark back. And so they, Baal of Judah, to bring up the, he got Baal from Judah to bring up the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts. The very ark of God got its name from the God who the ark was made for. It is the ark of God. And it would not be called that if there were no Lord God above. And the Lord God that gave them the dimensions, gave them the directions, gave them the reasoning for why they built that ark and why it would be in the holy place, the holy of holies, by the way. And so he's to bring up the ark of God, he said, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Now, before I get into that, listen, I want to just slow down just for a second before we get into this message where God said, I took thee. Now, I want you to notice this, that also the ark is a type here of the believer. It is always a type, of course, the greatest type of the presence of God. But here it is, made of earth. Made of an earthen thing. Are you listening to me? And it is sanctified for God. It is set apart for God. And it is to be holy and to be used of God. Only for God. That is a picture of the Christian in itself. And you don't hear a lot of preaching preached on that, but it is, in that sense, a picture of the believer. Something that was taken, something that God took and made from the things of earth and sanctified it for himself to be holy, to be something that God could dwell in and dwell with. And so they set the ark of God upon a new cart. And of course, I'm sure everybody at one time or another has heard the message about the new cart. Here they had taken the ark of God and placed it upon a brand new cart to deliver it to Israel. And you know why they did that? They had no other way of knowing how to carry it. Because the Israelites only had one people to carry that, and that was the priest. That was the priest. But the priest... God had told them back in Numbers chapter number 4 in verse 15, when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary as the camp is to set forward. After that, the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. These things are the burdens of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now Aaron and his sons, the Levites, they were the ones that were to bear the things of God. But when it was all taken down and covered up, it was the sons of Kohath. That was a family within the Levites. They were supposed to take the ark of God itself and not the rest of the Levites, just the sons of Kohath, to bear it to the next place. Then the sons of Levi would again, when the tabernacle was put together, the sons of Levi then could bear the ark of God again the way that God said to bear it. They're not doing that here. They had sons of Levi, but they didn't have, I guess, maybe they didn't have sons of Kohath, because they were supposed to take it with staves and put it through the rings of that ark and bear it up. But they've got it on a new cart, and they've got Uzzah. They came to Nacon's threshing floor, that in verse number 6 of 2 Samuel 6. And Nacon, he is, I guess, the same as Chidion. Anyways, they came to his place, and Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. So there was no way that they could remove the ark from anywhere it was and bring it back, not on a new cart. I don't understand everything that happens here, but here's what happened. David was displeased in verse number 8 because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perazuzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. David carried it aside into the ark. Now David is of the tribe of Judah, the same tribe as our Lord. David is a picture of the, he is the king as Christ is king, but not an earthly priest. Yet a picture of Christ who is our heavenly priest king. Again, I don't understand everything that's happening here. But the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And God blessed the house of Obed-Edom, just staying in his house where the ark was, the presence of God. And I'm sure Obed-Edom did not touch it. You say, how are you sure? Because he was alive when David came back. Nobody that wasn't supposed to touch this was to touch this. This was God's holy ark. Are you listening to me? And when God says, don't touch something that's mine, he means don't touch it. Are you listening to me? I mean, the Lord is serious about his word, and God is serious about what belongs to him. And so David went in the middle of verse number 12. He had saw that the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom, all that pertained to him, because the ark of God. That's why God blessed him, because of the ark. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And here's how he did it. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord, David must have gotten a hold of the right guys, don't you think? They that could bear it. He didn't say it here, they that could bear it, but he said, they that bear it. They that bear the ark. David must have made a good investigation into what happened to Uzzah, amen? Why did God kill Uzzah for touching it? Who then can touch it? I'd get those answers too, wouldn't you? But evidently David did, and he got the right ones, and they bear the ark of the Lord, and had gone 6 paces, 18 feet. They hadn't went hardly from this pulpit to that back door. Maybe not even that long. And the Bible says that he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. I mean, they had no more got started, and David said, stop. We've got to make a sacrifice. A sacrifice of oxen and fatlings. That's the biggest offering that you could make. I mean, a good offering would have been, you know, a lamb without blemish. But now this was even, bigger. They got the oxen and the fatlings. This was for the very richest. This was for everything that had been done. And made this sacrifice before the Lord. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. David put off the garments of a king, and put on the garments of a servant. You see this? This was the servant, the Levitical servant's garb. This was the garb that the Levites, who did all the underwork. He wasn't dressed like the high priest. No, no, no. There's not but one can wear that garb, and that's the high priest. But he was dressed like the others, a servant. So David took off his kingly robe and put on. He was girded with a linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. Can you imagine the victory as they came in? That he was able to retrieve this priceless, special, holy. Listen, you couldn't have bought this with money. I mean, there was an amount of money that it took to make it, but then to buy it, there's no price on it. It's God's. Are you listening? It cannot be sold. It cannot be bargained for. It is already given to the Lord, holy and set apart. And so David is rejoicing as a servant. The king is now a servant, and he has found out how to bring the ark of God back to Israel, to bring the thing that will help bring the presence of God back into the land of Israel again. David knew if he were going to be king, he could not rule without God. And he could not rule knowing the Philistines had the ark. This was top priority. Are you listening to me? This was the highest priority. Nothing else meant more to David than this. You and I need to get a hold of this. The things of God and having the presence of God, that is absolutely the richest thing that you and I can get. The one thing we should seek and the one thing we should do, everything that we have to do to get God's presence where we are. Now Nathan, he's a prophet of God, tells David to do all that is in thine heart in chapter number 7. For the Lord is with thee. David wants to build God a house. David wants to build God a permanent house. And it came to pass that night, the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, the prophet. Go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? And you think about what David wanted to do. And God is saying, you want to build me a house? A house that I'd could dwell in. You want to build me a house. Him that the heavens are curtains to him. The earth is his footstool. The clouds are the dust of his feet, the Bible says. God filleth everything. Are you listening to me? We've got a big God. A big God. I don't know how far the universe goes. Are you listening to me? But man can't even see to the end of it with the highest telescopes that he has. From one galaxy to another. All these galaxies that are so massive, and then there's I don't know how many of those galaxies they are, and God fills them all. And God knows them all with minute detail. That's how big God is. Are you listening to me? Yet God can come at the same time and live in your heart and live in my heart. He said, you want to build me a house? And whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Now, I want to tell you something. There's a difference here. God made in his word between the tent and a tabernacle. And the first tabernacle that Solomon's going to build. It's not even been built yet. But God dwelt in a tent, that tabernacle that they hauled around all over. That wasn't even a permanent structure. God dwelt in a tent right there with Abraham. Come and dwelt with him and ate with him. But then God dwelt in that tabernacle. There had not been any permanent structure. Listen, Eli, they must have had some kind of building, but it was not what you'd say a dedicated temple. But it was some kind of structure that they called the house of God that was similar. It had to have been, because that's where Eli was, and that's where the ark was when the Philistines came and took it. And Eli had a chair inside that place. There's not supposed to be a chair in the permanent tabernacle or temple. His boys are sent in right there at the doorstep. So this place must not have been. Are you listening to me? I'll say this reverently. It wasn't as holy a place as the tabernacle was. Because God came down, filled the house, and Solomon and all the priests had to get out when that place was established. God showed, that he was pleased when Solomon finally built that tabernacle. But he's telling David, until now, I've not had a place to dwell. I've not asked for a place to dwell. And he said, David, all the places, verse 7, where I've walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? God said that has never happened. I have never asked any one of the tribes, why haven't you built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David. This is what God's telling Nathan to tell him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee. I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. They've cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. They've made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. God said, you want to build me a place where I can settle down? I'm going to give Israel a place where they don't have to move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. I want to tell you something. That place is still coming. They've been afflicted since they've lived there in this land of Israel. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. Come down from God out of heaven. And nobody will afflict them there. But God said to David, I took thee from the sheepcote. Look at this. From following the sheep. David, when I found you, you wasn't even a good shepherd. You followed your sheep. I don't know much about shepherding sheep, but I know you don't follow them. You lead them. You lead sheep. He said, I took thee from following the sheep. David, when he was young, when he was first, God found him at a low place. Are you listening? He was a nobody. Do you remember the statement that David, I'm sure I've preached that here before, where David says, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? God, that you Who am I that you have done so much for me? Think about all that God has done for you as an individual. Look at your family. Look at your children. Are you listening to me? Look at all that God has handed you. And who are you that God would bless you so? That God would do all that he's done for you. And he said, I took thee. David, I took thee from the sheep cote, from following the sheep. David was, he called himself the son of thine handmaid. His mother was his father Jesse's handmaid. Wasn't even his wife. She was a handmaid, a slave. His mama was a slave. And that's why when Samuel came looking for a king in the house of Jesse, and he said, bring your sons hither. Jesse lined all his boys up except David, who was out in the field. He didn't even think of him like a regular son. Well, that's the handmaid's son. Oh, yeah, he's my son, but belongs to the handmaid, the slave. These are the sons of my wives. Nobody, 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 nobody did God tell Samuel that day was king. He said, do you not have anybody else? Well, I've got one. I mean, I don't even know how highly he thought of it. Because there he was out there learning how to be a shepherd to sheep. When God found him, the first time when God saw him, he was following the sheep. I took thee from the sheep cote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. David became a man that didn't even know how to shepherd right, to being the great shepherd of Israel. God said, I took thee. God wants to take every one of you today and make of you something greater than you could ever imagine. David tried to be king, wanted to be a servant, couldn't do anything right. As he went along trying to find his place, but God knew his place. God made him into what? He made him into. God made him into that. In spite of all David's failures, in spite of all of David's failures, you might look at David, if he was here today, and some of you might say, can you believe that David? I mean, I thought, you know, he's supposed to be the king. But in spite of all of his failures, all of his sins, David broke every one of them. Every one of them. What he did in the sin of Bathsheba, that whole scenario that played out, he broke every commandment of God. Trying to cover it up, had her husband killed. Are you listening to me? God was going to put judgment and did. David wasn't away from a spanking. Are you listening to me? He belonged to the Lord. And God, even though as much as God loved him, could not let him by with that. Would not let him by with that. He said, I took thee. God took him and made him to know that's not the David that I raised up. This is not the king that you're going to be. He's going to be better than that. He's going to be the one that God said he's the apple of my eye. David is a man after my own heart. That's who David was. That's where God took him to. David, listen, wasn't that all along? That's what David was made into. To become a man after God's own heart, listen, that takes some time. That takes some correction. It takes some seeing, some faith, and some learning. It takes knowing where you're supposed to be and where you're not supposed to be. Listen, David, even though he put that ephod on that day, he was not a Levite. I'm glad he didn't try to touch that thing again. I'm glad he didn't try to do something that God said you better not do. When God had charged the Levites, that there was even certain times they didn't touch it, then you better know. You better know. And God said, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. What an exaltation. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. There was a time in my life I was without God. There was a time in your life you were without God. But now that you're saved, you're never going to be alone ever. Never. Never. He told David, said, I was with you everywhere you went. Jesus, listen, he told us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he only had to say it one time. And I'm glad he said it. Amen? Because there's a lot of times the devil would make you and I to believe God's nowhere to be found. God's nowhere around. God's not looking. God doesn't care. And he doesn't understand you're on your own, but that's not so. You'll never be alone. I was with you wherever you went in all of your adventures and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. God knows how to exalt his people. Your testimony and your name means something. God wants you to know that. God gives us a name. This same chapter that God promised that David's son would build the temple and that his throne would be established forever. Said, David, your son's going to build the temple. You can't. And he told him why. His hands were hands of war. Hands of blood. But David said, your son's going to build it. And your throne is going to be established forever. And after David and Solomon, son of David. Nobody's sitting over there yet, but that doesn't mean that someone's not going to. Because God said, I'm going to establish your throne forever. Of David's line, of David's family. And the one that we know of is Christ. Christ. He can sit forever. Amen. Because he ever liveth. He can sit forever because he ever liveth. What a name that God's given him. David. What a name that our Lord has. A name above every name. A name above every name. I took thee. Think of what all God did for you. Where God's taken you from. All that God has accomplished in your life and still yet desires to accomplish in your life. I want you to stand this morning.